today my guest is Ashley Grant. Ashley, how are you?
Great. Nice to see you.
What do you do?
I am the community lead for the Aurelia JavaScript framework.
Aurelia. I've been hearing a lot about Aurelia lately.
Well, that's good to hear.
It's a JavaScript framework, and it went 1.0 just a couple months ago, right?
Yeah, back at the end of July, we hit our 1.0 release.
Okay, so here we are in September, so just a few months ago.
Yes.
Tell me about Aurelia. What problem does it solve?
Aurelia is a SPA framework. And the
SPA is?
Single-page application framework for building JavaScript and HTML applications. The problem that Aurelia solves is that setting this sort of thing up is very difficult. A lot of people go and they end up building a framework like that, and then they have to maintain it. Mm-hmm. And on our core team, we have a ton of expertise in doing this sort of thing. And we have built a framework that allows you to pull in and do data binding between your UI and your view model.
Okay. Well, that's pretty cool, and it solves a lot of headaches, a lot of JavaScript you don't have to write.
Yes. The big thing we like to say is that we get out of your way. We let you write your code and don't tell us what to do. We figure it out for you.
So that brings me to the next question. So this is not the first SPA framework for JavaScript.
Definitely not.
It's not the second. It's like the millionth.
Yes.
Why do we need another JavaScript framework?
A lot of the JavaScript frameworks that came out a few years ago were built on ECMAScript 5, and the web has moved forward. We have new versions of JavaScript. We have ES 2015, ES 2016, and we continue to get a new version of JavaScript every year now.
Okay.
But also, the web component specs have come along and given us a lot of power to do things that were very, very difficult to do in the past, and now can be done fairly easily. And
so, what are the web component specs?
The web component specs are a group of specifications that allow you to create a componentized application. You can publish components and use them to build applications. There's stuff like custom elements is part of the web component specs, a template element,
okay,
so that we no longer have to have script tags where we have HTML templates inside of them. Shadow DOM that allows us to have components that hide their own internal HTML away from the end user so that it doesn't muddle up their debugging experience.
Okay.
And a few other things. And having these new specifications has allowed a whole next generation of JavaScript frameworks and JavaScript itself to be written. But there are some warts in these specifications. And tools like Aurelia help smooth out those warts and make your job as a developer much easier by allowing you to concentrate on your code and not on framework code. In the demos that I do, generally there's very little, if any, Aurelia code in there. And that shows just how easy it is to work with Aurelia, and that you're writing your own code. You're not telling the framework what to do. You're telling your code what to do.
Is that the distinguishing feature of Aurelia over other applications that are out there right now, like React and Angular, which are two really popular ones?
Yeah, that is a distinguishing feature. Particularly with Angular 2, there's a lot of code that you have to write to tell the framework about what you want to do. You have to tell it the name of a custom element that you're creating or a component that you're creating, stuff like that. And with Aurelia, we use simple conventions to just figure it out for ourselves. You know, with React, React, as they say, is not a framework; it's a view engine. And with React, one of the main differences between Aurelia and React is that React uses a virtual DOM and does everything in JavaScript and does DOM diffing, whereas Aurelia, we work directly with the DOM, DOM events, and we use observables on your view model properties to tell when things have changed so that we don't have to constantly loop through and check things.
Okay, so some of the older frameworks, they would be constantly looping, and that's very slow.
Yes.
The argument for the shadow DOM is that it's in memory, and it's much faster.
Yes.
Than that process, but you're using the DOM, and is there a performance hit on that?
Well, we're not even using the shadow DOM. Right. The interesting thing is the shadow DOM's gone through a couple of iterations. Shadow DOM V0 was implemented in Chrome, but there were some real issues with that spec, and so the JavaScript community came together and ironed out ways to fix those specs, mm-hmm. and now there's Shadow DOM V1.
Okay, you would expect that to be more stable than V0.
One would hope, yes. And but the problem is nobody implements it yet. None of the browsers natively implement it. But, for example, with Aurelia, we have an implementation of Shadow DOM V1 and its slots. Slots are a way with a custom element or with a template to bring content. Like if you have, think of a table element mm-hmm. in normal HTML, mm-hmm. And you have T rows, T head, T D elements, and you want to build up a table. Mm-hmm. Well, when you're building custom elements, you want to be able to do the same thing. You would like to have not just attributes on this custom element, you also want to be able to put HTML inside of it.
Oh, so that's some hierarchical containership hierarchy.
Yes, the slots in Shadow DOM allow you to take that HTML that the user is giving you and put it inside of your own template, but nobody implements it yet except for Aurelia.
So you've implemented it not through the browser but through your own JavaScript.
Yes.
I see.
But
okay.
The great thing is it's like a polyfill, and so as soon as a browser implements it, we can step back and use the native implementation.
Okay. Tell me about this clean implementation. So just give me an example of something that's very clean in Aurelia.
Well, when you first start creating an Aurelia a page in your application, you're going to have two files. You're going to have an HTML file and a JavaScript file. And by convention, we match those up based on the names of the files. So if you have foo.html, that matches to foo.js.
Okay.
You don't have to tell us how to find that. We use the convention for it. Okay. And then once you get in and you're creating your view model, we're an MVVM framework. You're creating your view model. That is just a stock standard ECMAScript 2015 class. You don't have to extend from some Aurelia page base class or anything like that. We take the class that you give us and we inspect it and figure out what parts of the framework are you asking to use, what parts do you not need. We have a series of callback functions, and just the existence of that function on your class mm-hmm. will tell the framework we need to go ahead and call that. But if it isn't there, we don't throw an error or anything. And if you want to add it, you don't have to use TypeScript to implement an interface mm-hmm. and have metadata added that tells us about it. Just we look for it, and if it's there, we call it. And so the great thing with this is that oftentimes you can write the entire JavaScript half of a page or of a custom element and never pull in anything from Aurelia. It is just your code, 100% your code.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's still using Aurelia to do data binding, for example.
Yes. So, for example, if you're doing data binding to a property on your view model, Aurelia, in your template, you would use that property. Maybe it's on a text box, and so you would say value.bind equals first name if the property is first name.
Yeah. Okay? I do like that syntax. That's more readable than others.
Exactly.
And curly braces or something like that.
Yeah, we do that. We do have some curly braces, though. We use JavaScript. ES 2015 brought in a new thing called template literals. Mm. And that allows you to create a string, and in line in the string, you can say, I want to put the value of this variable or this property right here. And you do that using $ and then two curly braces.
Okay.
So we brought that over into our templating language so that there's no double curly braces. It's not like handlebars or anything. Mm. But you're able to use that. And the great part is you can actually inline a small subset of JavaScript code into that stuff, inside those curly braces and everything. But going back to the value, the dot bind syntax, it is imminently readable. There's no arcane thing you have to figure out to remember the curly braces. No bananas in boxes with Aurelia. You have an HTML attribute, mm-hmm. and then you have the binding command, so dot bind. Or if you want to be explicit, we offer three binding directions, two-way, one-way, and one-time. Mm. And the binding command for each of those is exactly what you'd think. So for a two-way data binding, you just say dot two-way. Mm-hmm. Okay, but when you use dot bind, we give you the default. It's a sensible default, and most cases you can just write dot bind.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now that you have version 1.0, everybody can relax and go home because it's all
100% we're done.
Complete.
We're just gonna lock up the
they're still working on it. I mean, there's maybe some bug fixes you might find here and there, but there's also new features here.
There are new features coming along.
What's the next big thing?
The next big thing is not in the framework itself. It's actually the tooling around the framework. We are working on a CLI, command line interface, that will allow Aurelia developers to, new up a project. It basically the equivalent of a file new project. And have a complete working setup ready to go, and then they can just say AU run, and they're up and running with an application. But there's a lot of work still left to be done on that, and so that is our focus right now, is getting the tooling story ready. The great thing with that is that for .NET developers who love working in Visual Studio, having a great CLI with a nice API, if you will, is going to allow integration into Visual Studio in a much better way than we could have done previously. We've heard from Microsoft that they would love for us to have a CLI to help out the Visual Studio developers.
So either Visual Studio or some third party would create a hook. When you do a file new project and select type Aurelia, then it would
just
do some of the scaffolding
for you. Shell out and run
you.
It, yeah. There's actually already... For Visual Studio Code, there's already an extension that's been developed. You can go, if you go to the extension search bar and just search Aurelia, you'll find it. Someone developed that on their own, and we happened on the team. We found it one day.
Oh.
We loved it. This is amazing. He never contacted us to ask for any help. He just developed it, and
wow.
We saw it, and we said, this is amazing, and now he's part of our core team.
Outstanding. How many people on the core team?
We are just under 30 people on the core team. So everybody has a focus. My personal focus is on community and maintaining our skeleton projects, we call them, which is something we had before the CLI. You have people like Jeremy Daniel, who is our binding and templating and binding guru. He knows more about Aurelia than probably anybody in the world right now.
More than Rob.
He genuinely knows more about Aurelia than Rob. Rob is working a lot on the CLI, and then we have just a ton of other people that each have their own little area that they concentrate on.
Interesting. And it is open source, so anybody listening to this could contribute to it as well, right?
Yes, it's open source, MIT licensed. We're on GitHub, github.com/Aurelia, and you can see all of our repos.
Is that the best place to go if you want to start using or learning about Aurelia?
The best place to go to start learning about Aurelia would be our documentation site. If you go to aurelia.io/hub, that'll bring up our documentation. We feel like we have a really unique take on documentation. We have this thing called personas, okay? So when you come to our documentation site, you'll have a drop-down menu that says, I am a, and then you can click the drop-down menu and select web developer, project manager, CTO, and it'll give you documentation and articles that are focused on your role with software.
Okay.
It's something that has obviously caught the eye of the documentation team at Microsoft, and they really like it.
Is that where Rob's working out?
Rob just started on Monday at Microsoft working on the docs.microsoft.com team.
Ah, excellent. And do you have an online presence separate from the Aurelia site?
I do. My blog's URL is aurelia.ninja. I try to get things out there. I'm on GitHub at, my username is Ashley Grant, and I'm on Twitter at Ashley M. Grant.
Excellent. I didn't even know .ninja was a thing.
As soon as I saw it, I had to have it.
Ashley, thanks so much.
Thank you. So when it comes to my life in technology and making friends around technology, if there's advice I can give you, it's to attend conferences. David and I are here at Tech Bash, but we originally met at a small conference called DevSpace down in Huntsville, Alabama. I have met so many friends through attending conferences, and I cannot recommend it enough. Whether it's a large conference or a small conference, get out there, go to code camps, go to SQL Saturday, whatever it is, get out there, meet people. It will make your life, both as a developer, as a technologist, but also just in general, it will make your life a lot happier.